I follow on Instagram, Voice of the Martyrs. And this morning, the post to encourage us and challenge us to, you know, keep praying, just as Dottie has challenged us this morning, reads this way. It says, "New Christians in Iran fear imprisonment or beatings if they go public with their faith in Jesus, which is why Farina has been a Christian for 2 years and still reads her Bible in secret. One morning, she discovered her father, Bilal, reading a Bible in their living room and was fearful he had found her copy. To her surprise, however, Iranian Christians had gone house to house in her neighborhood placing Bibles in mailboxes. Her father now reads the, quote, amazing book every day, and both Bilal and Farina are part of a local house church. Pray for the families of new believers in Iran that they too may come to faith in Jesus Christ." So God is most definitely at work, and our prayers are part of that work. So remain diligent and keep trusting and keep believing. Now, last week, if you were with us, we gave attention to the gospel, to the life, the suffering and death, burial and resurrection of Jesus for sinners. We gloried in it, really. We celebrated, or at least I certainly hope we did. Hope you walked away feeling that way, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is like a diamond. All right, it's like a diamond. It's something we should gaze upon. We should turn, you know, in different positions so we can appreciate various facets of it, growing ever more, finding it beautiful, and growing to be even more satisfied and thankful as a result. As part of, you know, really looking into the face of Jesus, if you will, because obviously Christ and the gospel are inseparable, but that's part of our growth process. But today we're going to focus a little bit on what I would call the transmission aspect of the gospel, the transmission of the gospel, how the gospel, the good news, goes from being good news, period, to good news of salvation to individuals, to you and to me. And in that way, we'll be turning that diamond, if you will, just a little more, and hopefully learning, loving, and living the gospel. If you have a t-shirt from Hampton Heights, that's what it says on the back: learning, loving, and living the gospel. Understanding a bit more, really, of what it means to live in light of the resurrection, in light of Jesus' resurrection, and in light of our future glorious resurrection. So take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's where we are. That's where we're going to be for a while. If you don't have a Bible, look under one of the chairs in front of you. Pull out that ESV Bible, turn to page 961, and that'll get you to Ephesians chapter 15. We're going to again read the first 11 verses. Our focus today, honestly, will just be a little more on verse 1. But before we do, let's pray and ask the Lord to give us insight into Paul's words about this gospel this morning. Father God, thank you so much for what we have seen and heard. I thank you for the testimony, the challenge, the report of Ramadan and what's taking place this month, and how our prayers can be joining with you and to be obedient to your will, to pray for those who need an encounter with you. And we agree, we do that this morning. And I thank you for those who have been faithful through the women's ministry to pray during this month. I thank you for those on Wednesday night, the last couple of Wednesday nights, who have come together to pray specifically for Houston, Texas, for areas of Pakistan, for areas all across the world where this is taking place, and where the need is so great for the gospel and for your power to come to those who are seeking truth. And Lord, we just ask that you would be found by those who are seeking you and by those who are not. So again, Lord, we just thank you that that you are a God who is over all of these things and working all of them for your glory. Now, Lord, we ask that you would take the words of the Apostle Paul here, carried along by the Holy Spirit, and carry them to us. And I pray, Father God, that you would open our hearts and minds, that we might understand a little more of the gospel, its beauty, its wonder, have a greater appreciation, Lord, for what you have done, that our celebration of you and your salvation might be a little more heartfelt, a little deeper, that we might go further in the gospel and in our understanding and application, and that, Lord, we might be just even more appreciative and more loving, as that song said by the choir today, that we would have an opportunity to love you today even more. So thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Spirit who leads and guides and enlightens the Word. And we look forward to what you're going to say to us in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me, whether then it was I or they. So we preach, and you, Corinthians, believed." Same apostle Paul, carried along by the Holy Spirit, said these words in Romans 10, 12 through 16. He said, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Paul preached the gospel, the good news. Why? Well, it's because in order for someone to be saved, to respond to God's offer of salvation, they first must hear the message. That means the message must be proclaimed, it must be heralded, it must be preached, it must be shared, it must be explained by another. Paul had done that for all the people basically making up this church that's gathering there in the city of Corinth. And last week we mentioned how important it is for believers to hear the gospel and be reminded of the gospel. And part of that is our responsibility. I mean, let's just be honest. Part of it is a responsibility of placing ourselves under the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God. And we have, we're drowning in it, if you will. We have so much access. We have the freedom, obviously, that those Iranian Christians do not. We have the freedom of the local church. You know, those in China do not. Those in all parts of the world don't necessarily share the freedom we have. We have the freedom of the local church, and then we're just loaded down with technology, whether that be books, whether that be radio, whether that be the internet. We are loaded down with access to the gospel and the Word of God, so we really are without excuse. You know, the Bible says, "To whom much is given, much is required." We are given much, and so we need to be placing ourselves there, you know, not just here on Sunday, but at other times and in other ways. But, you know, that's also part of God bestowing his riches on us. You know, you wonder if you're rich, you know, you always find somebody that has a little bit nicer house, a little bit nicer car. I don't care how successful you think you are, there's always somebody, you know. That's another thing about, you know, on Instagram, sometimes these things will pop up, that these like billionaire homes and things like that, and you're just like, "Man, I never knew some of that stuff even existed," you know. And you're going, so you can always be, you know, blown away by somebody else's situation. But real riches are the things that money can't buy and death can't take away. And so if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been bestowed, or had bestowed upon you, true riches. You know, think about it this way. If we were in here giving out 100 or 50 or even, let's just go as far as $20 bills. If we were giving out $20 bills in this place every Sunday morning at 10:30, what would it look like in here? This place would be overrun. If word got out on the street that Hampton Heights Baptist Church was giving crisp $20 bills to anybody who showed up at 10:30 a.m. in this worship service, this place would be packed. And yet, we have that which is so much greater, that which is so much more valuable. And the church, bless her heart, is often tempted to offer entertainment. instead. Offer entertainment in order to encourage folks to come and hear the Word of God. I still think to this day, the most effective and the best way to encourage someone to come and hear the Word of God is through a personal invitation. We can give general invitations all day. We have an electronic sign out front that tells people what's going on here, service-wise and otherwise. We have the website, we have our Facebook page, we have all these kind of things. Our very presence here on 2511 Wade Hampton Boulevard in itself is an invitation to come. But still, the most powerful form of invitation, most successful, is the personal one. Say, hey, will you come with me? Will you and your family come? Will you come sit with me and hear the Word of God taught and preached? Will you come with me to the worship of God? And if they turn us down, I wonder, would you give them $20? Would you pay them $20 to come hear the Word of God? Would you pay someone $20 if they would listen to you share the gospel with them? Just something to think about, something to ponder. So here in verse 1, we see that Paul preached the gospel to those in Corinth. That's how the church was built. That's how it's built today. The gospel is preached, and some, not all, some will respond. Most of you in here give testimony that somewhere someone preached to you and you responded in faith. Here in verse 1, Paul says, he preached, and you, those in Corinth, who heard and responded in faith, received. He says they received, and that's what I offer you to begin with this morning. My first point for my time in this text is this: resurrection living flows from a gospel that's been received. Paul's reminding these believers of the gospel. But in order to live in light of the resurrection, both the resurrection of Christ and our future resurrection, it has to be a gospel that's truly been received. Think about it. How much information comes your way in a day or a week? You know, most folks who've been around a while will say it's much different now. There's so many different ways information comes to us today. And so what percentage of the information that comes your way do you ingest but not necessarily digest? Think about it this way. What percentage of the mail, the snail mail that you act, if you get any, I'm sure you get some, if you get any mail at home, you open that mailbox or go to your post office and you bring that home, what percentage of that physical mail do you open at home then actually keep or engage with fully? How many emails? Oh my goodness. I mean, I don't know if you remember. I continue to get these emails from all of these countries, and I'm getting a ton of stuff from Atlanta Hartsville International Airport telling me that if I'll just give my information that there's millions of dollars waiting for me, and some long-lost relative just can't wait to give me all this money if I'll just give them all my personal information. I'm just like, so what percentage of your emails do you just open, scan, delete, versus the ones that you open and read fully? You know, I know you aren't reading mine fully. I keep getting some people say, well, I didn't know we were doing that. I'm like, I've only sent you half a dozen emails about that if you just read all the way down. And you know what's worse? Sometimes it's my own family members. Like, well, we didn't know about that. I said, I sent an email. I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't read it all. So how many of those do you actually read to the fullest, fully engage, forward, respond, deal with in some way? How many Facebook or Instagram posts do you just scroll right through? If you're like me, it's almost kind of like, I feel like I'm the dumbest person in the world. It's like, that's got more than three words. I don't think I can take all that in, you know. If I open, or if you have the little button that says more, you're like, oh, if there's more, probably not going to read that. How many Instagram posts, how many Facebook posts do you scroll through versus the ones you actually stop, read, and give serious consideration to? In all of those pieces of information, if you're anything like me, it's a small percentage. It's a small percentage. Now, the Greek word for received here in verse 1 is paralambano. Paralambano. That's like Francisco. That's fun to say, right? Paralambano. Paralambano. It means to take to one side, to receive to oneself, to receive in charge or possession, or to be carried off. To be carried off. Other uses of this word in Scripture that I think will help us in our understanding of what it means to truly receive the gospel is this. Matthew chapter 1. You know Matthew chapter 1. You're kind of going, yeah, we probably read that at Christmas time or maybe a little bit before Christmas. And you remember Joseph, he's going to marry Mary, and she finds out what she's expecting, and kid's not his. There's a problem, you know, and he's going, well, I love her, but this, you know, this can't continue. So I'm just going to put her away privately. And what does the scripture say? It says, an angel of the Lord came in him in a dream, just like Dottie's saying, we want, oh, angel of the Lord, come to these Muslims in a dream. The angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream, and what did he say? He said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What he literally says is, do not be afraid to paralambano her, to totally take her in union, in holy matrimony. Take her fully as your bride, the two becoming one. Another place is an encouraging word from Jesus to his disciples in John 14. He's been talking. They're starting to get it. They're starting to understand to some degree that he's leaving. And all the pressure and all the hate that's coming his way, they're starting to kind of picture how this thing might go. They're afraid and they're fearful and they're sad. And he says, listen, in my Father's house are all kinds of places, all kinds of dwelling places for you. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, guess what? I'm going to come again and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. He says, basically, I will come and I'm going to paralambano you to be with me. Hebrews 12, the author tells the struggling believers, he says they're struggling, they're being persecuted, they're tempted to go back to the old Judaism and the ways of sacrifice and everything else, and he's telling them, live lives of worship. Live lives of full-blown worship. Why? Because you're getting ready to receive a kingdom. You are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything else is up in the air. Everything else is unstable. Everything else is insecure. You can't guarantee your health. You can't guarantee a job. You can't guarantee who your friends are. You can't even guarantee your own family's not going to turn on you. But you're in the process. You are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. They are paralambanoing a kingdom. So from these uses, we see this receiving. This same word, receiving, to be the receiving one does when marrying a person. The receiving one does when being taken to heaven by Jesus' power to be with Jesus, or being made part of a kingdom, the kingdom of light and life, being transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And in each of those examples, we're given the picture of being united to, being in union with, literally being inseparable from. In marriage, the two become one as they enter this union. It's our union with Christ such that when God sees us, he sees Jesus that actually saves us. And if you're part of a kingdom, guess what? You are a citizen, right? Full-blown citizen. You are literally living in a new and royal realm. That's how the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be received. That's how we know the transmission of the gospel was successful. When truly received, the believer is in union with that gospel, inseparable from that gospel, living all of life in light of the life, death, burial, and especially the resurrection of the Lord. Picture it this way. When the wedding's over, I've got a wedding coming up a week from this Friday with Carson Morgan and Austin Gross. And I've gotten to enjoy getting to know them with premarital counseling over the last several months, and excited for them. And so they'll be getting married. And when the wedding is done, the reception, you know, the I do's, the kiss the bride, all that good stuff, I now, you know, by the power invested in me by the state of South Carolina and the Lord Jesus Christ, I pronounce you something you weren't before, but now you is now. And what happens next? They go get pictures, really. That's kind of the next thing. Everybody kind of scoots on out. They come back in here or the venue, or maybe there's some special place, and they take some photographs, and everybody's going, how long is this going to take? We're all hungry. But everybody else goes where? To something called the reception, right? Now, why do they call it a reception? You might be a lot more educated than me. I had to look up the history on it because it's not how it feels, all right? It's not what the reception is supposed to be. It's supposed to be an event where all of the family and all of the friends are received by the new bride and new groom because now they are something they weren't before. They're a couple. They are married. They are one now. They have entered into something that's completely and totally new, and this is their first opportunity to receive those they love, the family and friends. it feels more like the couple is the one being received by the community and by the family and friends, but the intent is actually the other way around. The couple is there to show their appreciation. The couple is to show appreciation through an act of hospitality, opening up the location that they have arranged and receiving the family and friends they love. This is supposed to be a happy time. It's supposed to be a joyful occasion. And Lord willing, it is. That's the reception. Now, there are some folks who have received the gospel of Jesus Christ kicking and screaming. Received the gospel in a way that it's not the way the Bible speaks or even my wedding reception illustration pictures. And if the receiving of the gospel, folks, is some sort of guilt-driven, forced issue where the person actually seems more embarrassed than rejoicing and grateful, then I'm going to tell you, I'd say they didn't truly receive the gospel nor the salvation that gospel makes possible. Don't get me wrong. Guilt may very well be part of it. In fact, I would say guilt should be part of it because we are all sinners guilty before a holy God. But once the mercy, not getting what you deserve, once the grace, getting what you don't deserve, once the forgiveness is understood, once an understanding that the penalty for sin owed has been paid by Jesus, there should be great joy, great appreciation, and a life that reveals this gospel of Jesus Christ, this resurrection life, was totally received. Is that you? Totally received. Has the gospel found a place in your heart and mind such that we've opened ourselves up to host it like a reception, like a bride that's gone to great lengths to host a reception for that which she loves? That's resurrection living. That word paralambano also means to receive in charge or possession. In other words, there's a charge to keep with this gospel, this diamond, this valuable thing. There's a possessing of this gospel such that we have something to introduce to others. When we share the gospel, we are in essence introducing the good news to those who may have not yet been introduced to it. You know, thinking about the reception and the wedding and all that good stuff, many of the guests at the wedding and at the reception quite likely know the couple very well. They perhaps live near one or the other. They've gotten to know the two together maybe during courtship. But some of the guests may have traveled a great distance. Some of the guests may have been acquaintances, really, maybe distant family or distant friends, haven't seen them in years, don't really know them like they once did, heard about them, you know, through you know, family relations and history and things like that, but maybe they don't fully know either the bride or the groom just yet. So the reception serves as a golden opportunity to be introduced. But can you imagine the bride or the groom walking around that reception hall, going from table to table to all of these honored guests and never introducing their new spouse to their family or friends? That'd be bad taste, wouldn't it? That'd be bad form. It would be inconceivable, would it not? And yet I'm afraid that you and I have some growing to do in our understanding of what it means to fully receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the Lord grow us in this area immediately. May we repent this morning in our hearts and minds of failing to receive the gospel in such a way that we are hosts providing hearts of hospitality for the wonderful, wonderful work of Jesus Christ. So number one, resurrection living flows from a gospel that's been received. Number two, resurrection living flows from a gospel in which we stand. In which we stand. That was part of that song the choir just sung. That was beautiful. The Greek word here for stand is histemai. Histemai. And it means to stand, sit, place, fix, appoint, establish, confirm, be permanent, endure, and to stop. You talk about the buck stops here. This is where it stops. This points to the permanence of the believer's position based on the successful transmission of the gospel, the fact that it has been truly received. This is also the believer's secure position or standing before a holy God. And one of the uses of this word, histhema, in Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. You remember that story? Jesus is exhausted, right? Fasted 40 days. He's hungry. He is as physically weak as he can be. And so this is the golden opportunity, this opportunity for God basically to send his son into a place of temptation for us. And at one point in this threefold process of temptation, the Bible says Satan took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple. Satan took Jesus and histhemied him. He placed him in that position. He placed him in a position, then he asked him to prove he was the Son of God by throwing himself down. Misusing Scripture, taking Scripture out of context. But you know what? Jesus was successful. While Satan's desire was evil, Jesus was placed, ultimately by the will of God, in a position. He was histhemied in order to trust and obey the Father. And Jesus did so by obeying the word of God, saying, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." You see, resurrection living comes as we grow both in our knowledge of and our obedience to the word of God. The believer has been placed, has been histhemied in a high position. And that position places them in a place where they're able to see the world from a biblical worldview and then live, make choices, set priorities, not based on the world's blind or even evil, intentionally evil view, but on the wisdom and instruction of God's holy word. Yes, we do fail at times, but that is not the norm for the follower of Christ. This word histhema also means to endure. Endure. That very definition, that word endure, implies there are temptations and trials and hardships to be endured. This word is used in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sure you're familiar with that one, where Paul calls believers to put on what? The whole armor of God, right? Put it all on. So you may be able to do what? You may be able to stand your ground, and having done everything to stand, to histhema. So let me ask you this, how's your positioning today? How are you standing in the midst of the temptations, in the trials, in the hardships, all that under the sovereign hand of God, who is allowing these, who is ordaining these, who in cases are orchestrating all of these trials and hardships and temptations into your life? If you're struggling in any of those areas, if you're saying, "Gene, you know, I'm really not doing so hot in this area of temptation, this area of trial, this area of hardship. I'm having doubts, I'm having struggles, I'm responding in a certain way." If you are responding any way other than the way of faith, ask God to take you back to a fresh understanding of the secure position he placed you in when you received the gospel. Ask him to take you back to the histhema that you are in when you paralambanoed the gospel. And if you're not putting on the whole armor of God, taking the time to do that, that's a whole nother story. God's going to do a lot of things for you, but he will not put on the whole armor of God for you. That's like having all the power available to you but doing no good. It's like having access to a power outlet but never plugging in the appliance or the tool, and that appliance or that tool never gets juiced. It never gets the purpose for which it was created. Now, that's as far as we're going to get this morning in this text. There's another section I want to go to, but it's going to take some time, and I want to cover that properly. But let me summarize this morning this way and close my time with you this morning. Have you truly received paralambano? Have you truly received the gospel? And you say, "Well, what kind of reception did you host when you placed your faith in Christ?" And the real question is, what kind of reception are you currently hosting for the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you're struggling in this area, call me this week. Let's talk about it. I mean, that's why I'm here. We can meet. We can talk by phone. Part of my opportunity to serve you here is to help you with things just like this. I'm here for you. Are you standing firm in the gospel, or are you finding yourself distant from the Lord? I was talking to my son Luke down in Columbia the other day, and we were just talking about the sovereignty of God and he's walking through some things, his small group, and they're being challenged on some stuff, and it's just neat to kind of see, you know, him grow and him take steps and him, you know, discuss these different things. And he said, but you know, Dad, he said, you're either always growing closer to the Lord or you're always growing further from the Lord. There's no, I said, yep, that is true. Good point, buddy. No coasting, no middle ground. So you're either growing closer to the Lord or you're finding yourself distant from him. You are growing in grace and knowledge. You are experiencing fullness of joy or the opposite. It's one way or the other. So where are you at this morning? I'm going to pray and give you just an opportunity, just a brief opportunity there to pray yourself. And then we're gonna worship the Lord together. Carlos and the team's gonna come while I pray, and we're gonna close out this time just with worship. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for how wonderful, how beautiful, what a source of joy and peace. What a great gift. Would you continue to give us a greater and greater understanding and appreciation? Lord, thank you for a gospel that can be received. You are under no obligation to save any of us, and yet you do. You offer us this good news. You offer us to receive it, to take it in, to ponder it, to meditate on it, to appreciate it more and more, to understand it greater, to share it. You've given it to us as a trust. We are ambassadors for you. You making your appeal through us. Lord, what unworthy vessels to make your appeal, and yet it's the power of God for salvation. So we thank you for that. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. We thank you that this is nowhere near as good as it gets. And so, Lord, just continue to fill our hearts with love and joy as we just worship and adore you. Father, would you forgive our sins? Would you cleanse us? Thank you so much that we don't have to stay up all night in hopes that you might be pleased with us. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that for the child of God, the only way you ever become displeased with us is if you ever become displeased with your son, and that will never happen, and he represents us perfectly. Thank you for that. Father, there are those here this morning that are distant from you. They're not responding to the trials and the temptations. They're failing. Lord, would you remind them this morning of their secure position, their sound position. Help them by faith. Help us all by faith to believe you, to believe you are fully pleased in the sacrifice and life and representation of your dear son. Help us to fully believe that we have been transferred into a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and that by faith, thank you for cleaning us and ever cleansing our hearts. Do a work in us this morning, Lord. And now help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as Carlos leads us in worship.